Death is not uncommon to us. More than 55 million people die each year. That is nearly 150,000 people each day. And the latest data that I found about England and Wales was from last week. There were 11,000 people who died. And in the total of last year, it's more than 700,000 people who die, almost 2,000 a day. And death is all around us. We cannot escape it. Family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, church members, everyone knows someone who is no longer here with us. And together with death comes grief. Grief is also not uncommon to us. You have all heard the last couple of weeks about Sarah Everhart in the last few weeks. She was murdered here in London. And the world and the UK were in shock because what happened to this young lady? The streets of London were filled with women. And there's a massive amount of flowers that you can still see in South London. And the family and those around her are scarred for life. They are mourning. Death and grief are not uncommon to us. But also death and grief are not uncommon to the Lord Jesus Christ. And who cannot imagine what it must have been like for him to be confronted by death, the result of sin. And tonight we will look at one of those encounters. And the title that I've given the message is, The Way of Life Meets the Way of Death. And we will look at this passage, Luke 7, 11 to 17, with the following points. The first one is the compassion of Jesus. The second one is the authority of Jesus. And the third one is the fame of Jesus. So the way of life meets the way of death. The compassion of Jesus, the authority of Jesus, and the fame of Jesus. And if you have your Bibles open in Luke 7, look at me to verse 11. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and the large crowd. So Luke is making clear that this passage that we are about to read is linked with the passage that we heard about this morning. And later on in the sermon, we will see what the connection is between these two narratives. And as we know, the first 9 chapters of Luke is about Jesus' ministry in Galilee. And also when we look into our passage, the Lord Jesus is still in Galilee. He had the sermon on the plain. He finished the sermon on the plain and he traveled to Capernaum. And we read and we heard this morning about what happened to the slave, the servant of the centurion. He was raised from sickness. He was healed. And he was raised to life by the wonderful saving and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, verse 11, it says, Jesus went to a town called Nain. And nowhere else in the Bible is this town being mentioned. Nowhere else. It's the only time. But from other sources, we know that it is a little town about 20 miles from Capernaum, 25 miles, about a day's walk from the event with the servant of the centurion. And humanly speaking, there was no reason why the Lord Jesus would go to this particular little town. There is no connection in the Old Testament. There is no connection in the New Testament. There is nothing known in the Bible about Nain. So why would Jesus go to this place? We'll see it in a minute. And also we read in verse 11 that following him were many of his disciples and a large crowd. His fame spread. And at certain instances in the Gospel of Luke, we see that the large crowd was following the Lord Jesus Christ. And his fame began to spread around the region. He healed the sick. He casted out the demons. They heard him preach and teach wonderful things. Things that they never heard before. And they followed him. They followed him all the way to Nain. And then in verse 12 we read, and when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. So try to imagine Jesus with a large following, with a large amount of people following him. He came towards Nain. Most probably near the end of the afternoon, after a long, tiring day of walking. And as this group is approaching Nain, from the town, out of the town, comes another group. And they meet. And Luke, Dr. Luke, he describes what kind of group this is. It was a group carrying a dead man. A man who was the only son of his mother. A wife who was already a widow. And with this wife, with this woman, with this widow, was also a large crowd. And our hearts break when we read this. Here is a woman in front of the funeral procession, coming out of the city to bury her only child, her only boy, all that she had. She teared her clothes. She was crying, weeping, mourning. And Jesus meets this funeral procession. And most likely, the man died that very day. Probably that morning, because it was the custom that people were buried the same day as they died. So we can imagine it in the morning when the Lord Jesus started walking to Nain. The boy was dying. And Jesus was on his way to Nain. And we can also already see something of God's providence. Everything that this wife, this widow had was gone. And maybe the boy was sick, maybe he died suddenly. Luke does not tell us. But he paints us this picture. She lost her husband, she lost her only child. Who could take care for her? How could she provide for herself? How could she go on? And we ask ourselves the question, is this meeting outside of the town of Nain, is this a coincidence? From a human viewpoint, we can say, perhaps, I think so. But from a divine viewpoint, we have to say no, as we will see. Because this was meant to be. God arranged this. And Jesus knew what was going to happen in Nain. Because the way of life meets the way of death. Here they cross their way. Jesus wants to go in, the dead wants to go out. We see the widow, we see the crowd with her, and we see Jesus and his disciples. And we have all seen photos or pictures or videos in other parts of the world where a crowd is lifting up a coffin, for with example, an important leader. And they fill the streets and they carry the coffin towards the funeral, towards the burial place. And even a few weeks ago, when you read the newspaper in Jerusalem, there were thousands of Orthodox Jews filling the streets because an important rabbi died. So we can somehow imagine what it must be like when these two large crowds met. But what happens next? In verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Don't weep." And we can easily read over this, but as we heard this morning, Luke is now for the first time in his gospel calling the Lord Jesus Christ Lord by himself. In all the previous instances, Jesus was being called Lord by other people, like the centurion in verse 6b. But this is the first time that Luke himself is calling the Lord Jesus Lord. And the story of Jesus Christ is unfolding. He's adding more and more details. And what does this Lord do? What does this Jesus do? He sees her. How profound these few words. He saw her. Here's the funeral procession. A huge crowd following this widow. From afar the crying could be heard. But the Lord saw her, the widow. It does not say that he saw the crowd. He saw her. Very specifically, he sees the widow. And he not only sees the person, but he sees her sadness. He sees her pain, her grief, her loss, her utter desperation. And he knows exactly what's going on in her heart. And the eyes of Jesus move his heart. We read in verse 13, he had compassion on her. He sees her. He had compassion on her. His heart went out to her. His heart was moved with pity to her. Like when he was going to Lazarus, when Lazarus died and Mary met him. It says in John 6:33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled and he wept. The heart of the Lord Jesus Christ is so big, so merciful, so compassionate, so full of love. When he is confronted with misery in this world, his natural response is a response of compassion. And we often, as people, we can fake our compassion, but not with the Lord Jesus Christ. His compassion is true and is genuine. Our compassion is helpless, but his compassion is effective. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. And also in all the parts of the gospel, and also in Matthew and Mark, we read, for example, but when he, that is Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. So this is Luke writing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's showing us something of the heart of the Lord Jesus. He is gentle and he is lowly in his heart. He is compassionate. He is kind-hearted, full of mercy and grace. And what does Jesus do? He sees the widow, he has compassion on her, and then we read, and he said to her, he spoke to her, he started to speak to her. And what does he say? He says, do not weep. Stop crying. Stop crying. Have you ever tried it? Saying this to someone who just lost a great loss, who just lost their father or a son or someone in the family? What would someone say? For example, what if someone would say to, for example, the family of Sarah Everard, don't cry. This widow's only son died, Jesus, some people might think. How can you say, do not weep? What's going on? Well, let me remind you of the teaching of what Jesus, how he started his sermon on the plain in Luke 6:21. He says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And Jesus is about to illustrate and to show that he is the Lord of life, and that he is the true fulfillment of his own commandments, for he will turn this widow's mourning into laughter. And note that nobody is asking Jesus to do this. The widow is not asking to do it. His disciples are not asking to do it. It is Jesus who takes action from his own initiative, from his own heart, filled with compassion. When Jesus comes and he sees, he acts. He sees the pain, he sees the loss. He is not stepping over it. He is not bypassing it. He feels it more deeply than we can ever feel. The way of life meets the way of death. The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our second point is the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 14, then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So we still imagine these two large crowds, each meeting outside the town. The crowd following Jesus and the crowd following the dead man. And in the midst of the first crowd, there was the Lord of life. And in the midst of the other crowd was a dead man. What a contrast. And what would the people have thought when Jesus started talking to the woman, saying, do not weep? Maybe some of them laughed, just as they did when the daughter of Jairus died. And Jesus was coming towards the house of Jairus, saying that she was asleep instead of dead. And they laughed. They mocked him. But nothing can stop him from being compassionate. His heart goes out to this widow. And Jesus approached. And the anticipation of the crowd is heightened now when Jesus approaches the stretcher. What will happen? The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ had seen numbers of great miracles. People got healed and unclean spirits were cast out. But they never saw someone raised from the dead. And maybe the thought of the possibility didn't even arise to their minds. Surely he is a great teacher. But raising people from the dead? And we see that Jesus approached. He came. And what did he do? He touched the open coffin or the stretcher on which the body lay. It's not a coffin that we know about today. The body was wrapped in clothes, it was anointed, and the body was laying on a stretcher, being carried out to be buried. And what does Jesus do? He touches, ignoring the ritual uncleanness, as we see in Numbers 19. He touched the lepers. He touched the unclean. He even touches the dead. Nothing stops the Lord Jesus Christ from being compassionate. And what's the result? Those who carried him stood still. What was going on? You can hear the mourning and the weeping and the crying ceasing. It became so quiet. You could hear a pin drop. No one moved. And everyone was holding their breath. Young man, I say to you, rise. Out of his own authority, Jesus starts speaking to the dead man, saying that he has to rise. What is Jesus doing? Who is he that he is commanding a dead body? Everyone knows that this man really died, and even Luke, as a doctor writing this gospel, it is sure that this man died. He really, really died. And we look to the face of the people and we see unbelief, despair, pain. How dare he? Who is this man? And maybe some glimmers of hope broke through the heart of the widow, some sparks of expectation. Could this really happen? Verse 15. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak.